anni.
They still always let Chama go first. They still almost always let Chama go first.
Okay, Rabbi Kamenetsky, Gracia Ashikov. I'm not so sure we're that different or we come from such different worlds.
Speak English.
The greatest moment of Achdus in Am Yisrael, recorded in the Chumash, is Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar. Or as Rashi say, Lashon Yachid, not Lashon Rabim. Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. The Achdus, they felt that Har Sinai wasn't incidental, it wasn't fortuitous. So they just happened to feel Achdus. The closer you are to Kutcher Brichu, the less tolerance there is for pettiness. Division is always based on seeing things small and magnifying differences and being small-minded and harping on trivialities. When you're standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't have that luxury. You're standing in front of the Melech Malchei HaMelechim. You see things large. You see the grand scale. The closer you get to Kutcher Baruch Hu, the Gemara in Baruch Hu says that the Kohanim would switch the Mishmar every Shabbos, and the outgoing Mishmar would give the incoming Mishmar a bracha. They'd say, I want you, incoming Mishmar, incoming group of Kohanim, I want you to have Shalom, Achva, Vareyos, like we had. Why did the outgoing Mishmar of Kohanim have more Achva, Vareyos than the incoming? Because they spent a week in Beis HaMikdash. They spent a week with their Rabbanu Shalom. They spent a week in front of Shechina. So the next time, Mirth Hashem, in a few months, you'll be davening on Rosh Hashanah, and you'll say, Ayom Tegadleinu, Es HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make us a gadol. Make me a gadol. Let me feel your malchus. Let me see the godless habare. And then I want to approach Yom Kippur. You can't perform tshuva until you're a gadol. Because if you're a katan, you'll lie to yourself and you'll get harped on in the negatives and the small-mindedness. Say, Yom Tov Gadlenu, Hashem, make me into a gadol. I want to see Ruach Hashem. Now that I'm a gadol. So when people feel presence of Kutcher Baruch Hu, there was no differences. Adjust this way, adjust that way, talk this way, talk that way, live here, live there. David HaMelech says in Tehillim Kuf Yud Tes, Chaver ani l'chol asher yireucha. Chaver ani l'chol asher yireucha. You know who my friends are? You know who I really love? L'chol asher yireucha. People that fear you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those are my friends. So if you really are an Ayav Hashem, you really are Yirei Shemayim, you really love Torah, you know the biggest simon? You love other people that love Torah. You love other people of Yerushalayim. You get caught in all differences and machloksin and trying to harp on contrast, then it's a chisarni Yerabas Hashem. It's a chisarni Yerushalayim. Shows us more about you than about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So not that many differences. I think 99.99 things are the same. And it's a real schus to be here with Reb Lachman. And Mirtz Hashem, if our being here together leads to more sarus of Talmud Torah, the Schus of Talmud Torah, as Reb Lachman Asher is going to speak about, we should have a Gula Krova B'mehera, M'kadei Shem Shamayim. That's our responsibility this generation, M'kadei Shem Shamayim. We live 70 years after the biggest Chilul Hashem since the Churban Beis HaMikdash. 70 years since Shem Hashem was mischalel in the streets of Europe. So now our responsibility is to be M'kadei Shem Shamayim again. So you guys have been M'kadei Shem Shamayim. I know one thing we had in common, probably. We probably didn't learn in the summer when we were teenagers. That's probably another thing we have in common. There was no NCSY Kollel, there were no learning programs. So Baruch Hashem, you Makadosh Shem Shemayim. Can you be a Yid without Talmud Torah? It's a two-letter answer. And you can guess the two letters, because it's a yes or no answer. You can guess the two letters. The Gemara says in Shabbos that when a person goes up to Shemayim, Amar Rava B'Shah Shemachnisim Adam Ladin, when you go up to Shemayim, this is the final exam. You guys are in high school. You like taking finals. You don't like taking finals, but you're conditioned to pass tests. So one of the questions Kutcher Baruch Hu is going to ask you, the base in Shemala, the first question, Nasasa V'Nasatza B'Emunah. Were you honest? Were you ethical? Were you a mensch? Beginning of an Oved Hashem is to be honest and good, have integrity and treat people with respect. Treat everyone, be a respectful person, not a disrespectful person. And the second question, right after you pass that first question, were you honest, were you ethical, were you a mensch? Kavata itim latara. Notice the question is not did you learn Torah yamam v'layla. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to ask you ve'agisa bo yamam v'layla. Kadosh Baruch Hu will ask you kavata itim latara. Was Talmud Torah part of your life? Was Talmud Torah part of your Avodas Hashem? Every single person in this room is going to have to answer that question. I don't see any women in this room. Women aren't chayiv in Talmud Torah. Should they learn? What should they learn? That's already different drachen. But you cannot be an Orthodox male if you do not learn Torah. You're not an Orthodox male. Now, I'm not talking to your parents, or to your grandparents, or to your uncle, or to people who have never had yeshiva in their background, because they have a p'tur. They get to Shemayim, they'll say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I was never in yeshiva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I never had the skills. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I never saw it. I lived right after the Holocaust. I lived two generations after the Holocaust. I had to go right from high school into college. I had to go earn money. Don't have a p'tur. Onis Rachmana Patre. You can't do, you can't do. But none of you have that p'tur anymore. Baruch Hashem. All HaTorah. Every orthodoxy, being an Oved Hashem, doesn't mean you do all the mitzvahs right. It means you accept them all, you don't select which ones you want, and you try your hardest to do them all. Everyone makes a mistake. Adam and Sadiq Bar, it's known as perfect. You're mekabel all the mitzvahs, you try your hardest to do the mitzvahs. You can't be from, I'm mekabel 612 mitzvahs, I'm just not mekabel nevela, I'm not mekabel el Shabbos, I'm not mekabel el Shatnez, it's a macabre all the mitzvahs. You can't say I'm an Orthodox person. I'm just not learning Torah. I'm an Orthodox male. So the short answer to that question is no. You have to be kovei de matara. Shammai. Famous machlokes Shammai and Hillel. So what does Shammai say? We have all these quotes from Hillel and Pirkei Avos. One small sentence from Shammai. Does anyone know what Shammai says? Gemara and Shabbos is based on what Shammai said. What does Shammai say in Pirkei Avos? I say... Tarascha?
Keva.
Make it Kevua, make it part of your life, make it part of your story. So that's the short answer to the question. Everyone, every Jewish male, has to have healthy commitment to Talmud Torah. How much does he have to learn? Chazal aren't going to tag a number. The Gemara in Bracha says, the Rabbanan in the yeshiva used to say, some people work in the fields, farmers, the workers, we work in the city, in the yeshivas. I'm not jealous of their malacha. We're not jealous of their malacha. They're not jealous of our malacha. I don't make fun of them. They don't make fun of me. We learn more. They learn less. And the Gemara ends, Echad ha-marbe, Echad ha-mamit, Ovelvad, Sheyachavim libul ha-shamayim. Some people are going to learn a lot. Dagisibo yamo v'layla, they'll be kover itim around the clock. Some people, they're tough, they're just going to learn less. They'll be workers. They'll excel in chesed. They'll excel in other aspects of Avodas Hashem. You know you become an excellent Oved Hashem? Get married, raise a family, treat your children with respect, be a member of the community, do chesed, daven like a yid, and you're ready at tzaddik. We're the only two people in Sefer Bereishis to be called at tzaddik. Yosef and Noach. Yosef by Chazal, Noach by the Pasuk. What's the only thing Yosef and Noach share in common? The only thing. Different people, different times of history. One was a Jew, one wasn't. It's the only thing Yosef and Noach share that they're both called a tzaddik. They each feed the entire world. They each feed the entire world. They're both mashpil l'chol ha'aretz. If you raise your family and put food on the table, honestly, and train them in midos, and train them in Yerush Shemayim, you're already a tzaddik. And you sit and learn Torah. You don't have to look to be a tzaddik by going off and becoming something else, or looking in some far distant land to become a tzaddik. You're shine a tzaddik. Of course, there's a maila to be koveitim, and not just koveitim, to be a masmik, to learn as much as you can. Very famous, probably the most famous mamar chazal about being a masmik. In the chukosai teilechu, it's mitzvosai tishmu vasusam osam. Anyone know Rashi, the first Rashi in the chukosai? Alex, you're saying it, you're mouthing it? Come on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You said the end of the pasuk. Sefer Katani Reishel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mis'ave. Hashem craves. Sheyu Yisrael Ameilim Batara. That people should work in Torah and learn Yom Ha'Layla and be a masmit. That's the highest ideal. But Alex, what is the Mamar Chazal? Hashem craves it. If it were normal and everyone should be doing it, Hashem wouldn't crave it. He'd be demanding it. He'd be commanding it. It'd be mitzvah. Everyone has to do chesed. Everyone has to daven. Everyone has to put on tzitzis and wear tefillin. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows not everyone is going to be learning Yom Ha'Layla. but everyone's going to be kovei. So when it comes to ameilas batara, lasuk b'tevei sara, v'agisa b'yamam v'layla, ah, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, ah, that's the highest madrega. But if you can't, or you decide not to, you're going to put your efforts and your kachos elsewhere. So then you're also a yid, you're also a bentar, you're also a talmid chacham. The Gemara Chayyia tells a story about a person, you're listening, a person who would show up in the Beis Medrash one day a year. He'd come one day. And the Talmidim started to make fun of him. You know what they called him? A one-day Talmid. Here's a Rabban and the Chad Yoma. He's only one day. That's all he can, it's all he can muster. And then I think it was Rabbi Yochanan, who's the Rosh Hashiva, says, don't make fun of him. He liked to be here every day. He can't. He travels a long distance, and he quotes the Pasuk in Yeshaya, V'yosi yom yom yidroshum. As long as you're looking for HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day, as part of your Avodas Hashem, even if you learn one day in Beis Medrash. Maybe we'll talk about this later, how high school kids can go back after the kollel, and what types of tactics and strategies you can take when you get back to Chutz La'aretz, when you get back to America, to bolster your Talmud Torah. So that's the short answer to the question. On the one hand, you can't be an Orthodox Yid if you don't study Torah. Listen to what I said. I'm not even talking about the fact that Torah is Shkula Kedeged Kol HaMitzvos, and it's like all the mitzvahs. Even if it's just one mitzvah, like Nevela, like Tefillin, like any other mitzvah that's not Kedeged Kol HaMitzvos. You can't deselect mitzvahs. You have to mekabel all the mitzvahs. That's, life is a mitzvah v'yoseh. Kol HaShek Diber HaShem Nasev V'nishma. Halachas Kama V'Kama, if Talmud Torah is the center, how are you going to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How are you going to know his Ratzon? How are you going to know which mitzvahs to perform? You just finished davening about 20 minutes ago. Anachu Karim Mishtachav in Melodim. What were you thinking of when you bowed down? Who are you thinking of? What image did you have in your mind? Chalila V'Chas, you should have an image. Rabbi Avodah Zarah. How do you know the Rabbonah Shalom? Kadosh Baruch Hu Baruch Sechayinu. You know his Torah. You know his Ratzon. The closest you can come to knowing the Rabbonah Shalom. So Talmud Torah is the center. But even if it weren't the center, even if it weren't, as the Rambam calls it, the Amud HaGadol, the central mitzvah, you can't be from if you just take 612 mitzvahs. But how much do you have to learn? What do you have to learn? Who knows the first pasuk in Tehillim? Asher Yisha Shelo Alach Basas Rishayim Derech Hatam Lo Amad V'moshev Leitzim Lo Yashav. Now what's the end of the pasuk? V'moshev Leitzim Lo Yashav Kiim. What? B'saras Hashem Chavtza. Chazal Darshan from that pasuk, B'taras Hashem Chavtza. Ein Adam Lameid Eleif HaShalibu Chafetz. You have to learn what excites you. When you're young, you have to learn everything. You have to cover everything. But if you're excited by Gemara, and you're excited by Halacha, and you're excited by Iyun, and you're excited by Shelos V'Tshuvos, and you're excited by Tanakh, and you're excited by Mishnayos, and you're... Each person has to learn what excites them, what leads them to their Ribono Shel Olam. And Torah's level, there are different layers. What did the Pasuk say at Har Sinai? Kol Hashem Ba... Doesn't they call Hashem Bekocho? Kol Hashem Bekoch. Chazal Darshan, Bekocho Shekol Echad V'Echad. Everyone heard as much as they were able to hear. It wasn't Bekocho. Kocho would have meant the Koch of the Ribono Shel Olam. That would have overwhelmed everyone. Kol Hashem Bekoch, they all heard as much as they could. So that's the beauty of Torah. Everyone has to learn, yes. How much? Echad Amar V'Echad Amamit. What you learn? Efa Shalibo Chafetz. But everyone has to be involved in Talmud Torah, because otherwise how are you going to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu?
Rabbi Shpeth.
What's your name?
Jeremy Teichman.
Thank you very much. Okay, once again, thanks very much for this. It's a great idea, I must say the honest truth. The last time we did this together was in TLN, I think, a few years ago. We don't look alike, but we actually, I think we are quite alike. He's better looking.
That's small.
No, you. Crash toothpaste. Seriously speaking, well, this was serious, but I mean on topic. It's a question which I couldn't say. I have 15 minutes.
I only say 2 hours.
Forget it. Why learn Gemara? Well, Rav Moshe is right. I mean, La'olam Yud Ma'adim Makom Shlibu Chafetz, the Mashalibu Chafetz, the Sifrin Shulchan Aruch. That she brought down twice, both in Hilchos Talmud Torah and Hilchos Kibud Av. You learn what you want, and you learn where you want, and by whom you want. But as the song goes, you don't always get what you want. Whatever that meant. Why learn Gemara? We should be learning everything, shouldn't we? But we know that the Rambam writes that based on the Gemara that La'olam Yashbi Shalom, you're supposed to divide your day in three things: Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara. We basically know that the Shonim discuss, well, if that's the case, we should be doing at least in the beginning of our Derech HaLimud, 30% of the day in Tanakh, 30% in Mishnais, and 30% in Gemara. Between you and me, I wish they would, but that's off the record. At the end of the day, we have Rabbeinu Tam, which saved the yeshiva world, and told us, basically, you learn Talmud Bavli, it's all mixed up, right? It says, Balo, B'mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara, you get a broad, I would say, an overview of the ideas. Hopefully, I would imagine enticing you to do an in-depth study of the total mass of Dvar Hashem, of Gilui Hashem, of Nevi'im, of Mishnayos, and of Gemara. But the Rambam writes, this is Tchilas Limud Shel Adam. Ultimately, at the end of the day, after we basically took in the total mass of the material, which isn't really that much, Rambam will call the Pirush HaMakubal Misinai, found obviously in Tanakh and finally in the Mishnah. Ikir Limud Shel Adon should be in Gemara. It's from there that we somehow learn how to extrapolate, conceptualize, formulate, create new halachos and find new insights. That's basically Ikir Limud Shel Adon. The most primary limud of man should be in Gemara. The obvious question is, what? Do you become frummer if you want to be by learning Gemara? Wouldn't it be better to learn Musar or these other disciplines which make you feel closer to God? Do you feel like you have wings and you fly when you learn Yushalay Midas? Is anybody rolling their eyes when they learn B'chash from Avoida La Avoida, whatever that means? I mean, do you feel spiritual when you learn a Reb Kveger? I really hope you don't. You should be feeling intellectual. But if that's the case, what's this all about? Why Gemara? Why all this Sfora stuff? And the interesting thing is, there's an interesting mimer of the Baal HaTanya found in his book Likutei Torah, where he writes that the ultimate dveikus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only Limud Gemara Bi'iyun, not B'kiyus, Lahavin et HaSugya Al Burya Michol Tzad U'Michol Pina. Only with that do we attain the ultimate dveikus with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. God, I thought it had to do with kumbaya, rolling your eyes, a candle, a guitar, feeling close to God. And the Rebbe says, no. The true closeness that we can attain to the Kaddish Baruch Hu is dafka l'havin et ha-sugya al-burya michol tzad u-michol pina. I quote. Now, this wasn't Rav Aaron Kotler talking. This is the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe. Can you imagine? I guess it's real. What does it mean? How, why, what, and where? Rav Moshe mentioned, if you want to get close to God, you have to learn this Torah. I'd like to follow in that theme a bit. You also mentioned that women are putter from Talmud Torah. What Rav Moshe meant was the mitzvah of Yishinantan Levanech. But as much as Talmud Torah is a medium to other mitzvahs, they're pashit mitzvah just like you and me. There's a mitzvah called Yediyas Hashem. There's a mitzvah called Avas Hashem. We learned this together, it was 2 weeks ago here with a group. I'd like to elaborate on it a bit. How does one love God? How does one really love anybody? So when you're a kid, you think, well, being close with each other is what they call love. We can go and elaborate on love, but this is not the topic of the evening. But at the end of the day, real love is, talking as a mature adult, is the constant quest and thirst of being together. When I was a kid, there was a song, "Can't Live If Living Is Without You." And that's really what it's all about. Do you really think there's a mitzvah of getting yourself killed on Kiddush Hashem? There isn't. Look it up. The mitzvah is Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Know this. And then ultimately, because you know this, V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha V'chol Levavcha V'chol Nafshecha V'chol Moedecha, means you love Him to the extent that denying Him makes your life meaningless. And you can't live if living is without Him. And that's why you die. There's no mitzvah of getting yourself killed. The mitzvah is understanding how can you live if you have to deny a Kodesh Baruch Hu. What's life? It's meaningless. It's a Romeo and Juliet story, if you ever read that in the classics. That's what it is. So how do I get to know Him? How do I get to love Him? Do you really think an inspiring ebbing will do? Oh yeah, I met God at Killington, or something like that. You know where you meet God? Find where they have just the 20 Babylonian volumes with all the others. That's where He is. And let me explain. You see, the closest you're ever going to get to anybody is by basically understanding how their mind and heart works. The heart is actually a function of reaction to perceptions. So just doing what he or she wants, or knowing what he or she wants, will not be enough. It actually will be superficial. What you have to know is what makes him or her tick. What are their perceptions? How do they see things? What are their value systems? What are their sensitivities? And then you'll understand what he or she wants. You know, there are many times in true relationships where they don't tell you. Right? Did your wife tell you what she wants? And we got this problem. What does she want? Well, if you don't know by now, you got an issue. You're supposed to know what she wants. You better. Like, what do I buy her for the anniversary? Don't ask your mother-in-law. You should know by now. Because your mind and hers should be in one. You should really understand what makes her tick. That's as a married, I'm a grandfather, so I can be free about this today. But it's the truth. Real love is basically when our minds merge. When I really, I'm not just into you. I know you. And our minds work halavai in the same way. The closer you are, the closer you merge in your personalities and your ideas, your sensitivities, and both your perceptions. That's the deeper in love you are. Because then you really can't be without yourself. And if that's the way she thinks, that's what you think, you can't be without her. That's love. Don't have to be physically together forever. Actually, sometimes distance makes the heart grow fonder. But oy vavoy, if there's not a merging of the personalities. Now, how am I supposed to date, mate God? He's big on me. Love this big, infinite idea. It's like Hulk. Did you ever see? I think the God of day school is like a dangerous guy. Hey, behave if not, he's going to nick you. I mean, would you love Al Capone? Who's God? Does he have like a feather in his hair and he's going to San Francisco? Is he a hippie? Like, what's he like? Who is God?
Big creator.
Oh, so he's a PhD from MIT. Why should I love him? Who's the God I'm supposed to love? How do I know it? Or it says that a Nike is a nutrikun. Aleph nun chof yud. Anon nafshi kasaf tehiv. I've written myself down in a book and given myself to you. Ramban writes in his Hakdama to the Pirush al HaTaira that the total revelation of God to man in all of history is somehow found in the Torah, and not in every generation, I guess, learns or sees something else about it. Ramban says that Shlomo HaMelech, when he wanted to understand Sichos Dekalim Va'Ofos, he saw it in the Torah. I must say the honest truth. Abaye didn't see it, and Rava didn't see it. I definitely don't see it. And you know, David HaMelech didn't see it before, and Shmuel HaNavi didn't see it before. But Shlomo, in his right time, in his place, he saw it. Yecheskel, where did he see the Maaseh Merkava, the great dynamics of God's interaction with reality? Ramban says, in the Chumash. Once again, Yeshayahu didn't see it the way Yechezkel saw it. Yirmiyahu didn't see it at all. But Yechezkel saw it. It means that it's all there, and each and every one of us has another part and another key to his own little space of what we are going to be able to see. I'm not jealous of the Gaon of Vilna, because he was supposed to see what he saw. But he was not a Yankee fan. So he couldn't see what I saw, because I was put in history in a certain period of time with different experiences, which ultimately will allow me to see different things. And those are mine. The total mass of Torah is God giving himself. You know what that means? You know, there's actually a very beautiful article by Rabbi Aaron Langesund on morals and halacha. Printed quite a few times. Is there a Jewish moral? Or is it just a bunch of laws? Is every law moral? Well, you know, the Pasuk says there's something called Yashar and there's something called Tayv. Yashar means the right thing to do. It fits the plan of creation. Tayv means that which makes God feel good about things. Actually, punishing, killing people, even legally, here on Yidachas. Pasuk says it's called Vasidasatecha Rachamim V'Richamcha Ki Asiso Es HaYoshar Be'enei Hashem. And it does not say Tayv. And Rav Meir Simcha writes it as Meshech Chachma. This is not good. Sometimes it's necessary. But don't feel good about it. Don't want to say the word immoral, but maybe I should. It doesn't fit with my scale of morality to hurt people or punish people. It may be the necessary good, right thing to do. It doesn't make me feel comfortable. Ultimately, in my definition of morals, I would see it is not a moral. It is a right thing to do. It's not a good thing to do. God is multicolored. He's a great creator.
and he has a lot to say. Problem is, how do we find out what he has to say? Is it in the books? Let me just give you an idea that I actually taught in Johannesburg this past Shabbos. You know, the Chumash, as we all know, has five books. We know that the fifth book is defined as Mishneh Torah, whether according to Tosfos and Yavamis, it means a repetition of Torah, or rather, the way Unklus explains, it's an explanation of giving deeper dimensions of Torah. Whatever it be, the fifth book of Moshe that we have started this week is another level of prophecy. It isn't even the same level of prophecy as the first four books. As pointed out in the Gemara at the end of Megillah, the four books ended this Shabbos. You know, and you figure at the end of a book, all the books end in a very nice dramatic way. Look at it. Bereishis ends very beautifully. Shmais, wow. Yikra. No, Bamidbar ends. Story was that these nice Slavchot, they inherited the Yerusha of their father, Slavchot. And you know, if they would have married who they wanted to marry, some guy from a Shevet Reuven, so then the estate would have moved to the Shevet Reuven and Shevet Menashe would have lost homeland. So that was a problem. The name Nasha comes and says, hey, these girls marry out, we lose homeland. And God says they're right. And for 14 years, Shekivshuv Shechilku, basically until Tu B'Av, those girls, that any girl which had inheritance could not marry outside of her tribe. And that's how the big, safe four books of Moshe ends. It's an ending which fizzes out. Is it meaningful? It's even a temporal halacha. It's a Rosh Shah. It's not the Netzach. Is this the way you end the book? I would expect to end Torah with Matayva Alecha Yaakov. I don't know, Shema Yisrael. Give me something. I would write it different. Why is God saying that we end the Torah by saying some local temporal halacha of a Rosh Shah, which is really, not even, who cares about it? It's good that Masha Haya Haya. Why is that the way you end your Torah? I mean, look at the different form of the end. Look at, wow, Sefer Bamidra, wow, breaking the Lucas, Yeshutev Sushibarta, great way of ending the Torah. I don't know. Is this the way you end with a Rosh Shah? Well, this question was raised by a very profound thinker. His name was Mordechai Yosef Leiner of Ishbitzer. And this is what he answers. He says, you know, life is full of gray areas. Do you really think that Torah has an answer for everything prescribed in the law book? The Ramban is that Torah can only talk about the klalim. Things that are more, we can't talk. Okay, what do we do? Junctions in life. What does God want from us? Do I do medicine or economics? Do I spend another year in Israel or I don't? Do I go to Columbia or to Penn? Or, of course, to YU? Many different issues. There's big issues in life. You're going to find a Shulchan Aruch for it. Will there be a Rambam for it? And the answer is, if you learned that Torah, and you will have distilled all those concepts into metalogic concepts and translated into philosophical underpinnings, you will know what God wants. And then you'll have your answer for your private Harad Shah wherever you go. Ramban says, how are we supposed to know what's Yashar? How are we supposed to know what's Taif? He says, you know what? Finish us. Distill it. See the broad picture. Don't be a nudnik. See the broad value system of the Allah. Learn Baba Kama and realize, how does God relate to human beings?
learn Tyrus and be sensitive to values. Ramban instantly writes, if you'd learn Tyrus, you'd be sensitive to personal hygiene. There's a lot that God is sensitive to, but you have to find it. And you learn Kachim, and you learn Tyrus and Zroim, and my ultra, obviously Nashim and the Zikin. And you will see different aspects of his sensitivities and his feelings. Just learning Baba Kama, you'll know nothing about what he feels about marriage and marital relationships. Just learning Baba Basu, you may know what he feels about neighbors, but you won't know a lot of other things. You know, you're young, but you're going to date, seriously. And hopefully you're not going to spend time giggling over lunch and just bowling, but you're actually going to date in a focused way and find out, is she compatible? Can she be my companion? Do we have respect? Now you're going to do that. You're going to talk and talk and experience things together. And you're going to feel. You're going to learn what she says, Bi'yun. And you're going to figure out, not what she says, that's shtiyot. They all say the right things. You're going to learn from body language and from whatever it only be, what does she really mean? Where's her mind at? And where's her heart at? And when you find that out, then you've met the real person. And if that's the person you're drawn to, then you're in love. Sorry to say, in today's world, I guess the only one that tells the truth is the photographer at the wedding, because he's very shallow and superficial. At my wedding, I honestly want to take my suit off and say, forget it, I want to just like be free. They didn't let me do it. I had to behave myself. But honestly, knowing a person is knowing the sensitivities and the values. You want to love a person, you must know that. You got to date her for real. Well, God is a hot date. But you can't take him to a restaurant. The only way you're going to date him is Zroim, Mayid, Noshim, Ezekiel, Kachim, and Tyrus. And if you're just going to date him on Baba Kama, poor guy. There's so much of him that you don't know anything about. You won't know who he is. You'll fall in love with a certain lord of torts. There's a bit more than just being a lawyer. Can you imagine someone, forget it. I mean, whatever. You have to know a person all different aspects. Here, I'll tell you something cute. I had this couple that came to see me, and they had these issues, and they wanted to get married, but they were like so superficial. So sometimes I'm in the mood. You'll like this one, Moshe. I tell them, listen, I look at her and say, you see this guy? Looks good, huh? Yeah, she was very much into his. See me? I also look good. He's going to be fat, bald, and talking a raspy voice. You sure you want to marry him? Then they stick their head in. Hey, she looks good, huh? Oh, yeah, right. Think of her 7 pregnancies later in curlers. No, you sure you want to marry him? Actually, thank God, they're happily married. But that conversation was very important. Because their relationship had to go more deeper than just the superficial. Do you know her? Does he know you? Oh, isn't he sweet? Yeah, but so what? Maybe he's a jerk. What do you know about the person? What do you know about a Kaddish Baruch Hu? To the extent that you learned his Torah in depth, formulated, categorized, ultimately capable of extrapolating, which is what Gemara means. You have the tools of getting to understand his value system, his philosophy of life, his sensitivities, what he cares about. That's the God you fall in love with. So often the Rambam, Sefer HaMitzvahs, brings the Sifri, Va'avtos Hashem Elokecha,
Any Odel Azad Oyvim I say Ella Bahayu Advoima Elash and Nothing Mitzav Hayam Alu Babeka. Should I go on? It says the Vishinanto Vech with the part of Bum, the Lib is Warm Batalib. Should I go on? The Shiftacha. It's you gotta walk it, talk it, eat it, drink it. That's the only way you're gonna know him. So I think it's very important to learn different aspects of Torah. But if you get clogged up into one part and you don't see the big picture, you'll never know it. Unless you've trained yourself, I repeat, to analyze, conceptualize, ultimately extrapolate, then you really know nothing more than words. Your notebooks will be yay thick. But you will be a chamor noisei svarim. In English, a dumb donkey. We'll leave it at that. I was a young boy, 15 years old, and we had a bechina. I learned the Chevron Yeshiva. We were learning Yavamas my first year there. And we decided, we went all together to Rav Moshe Chavarni, the Rosh Yeshiva, and he started asking questions. Yeah. We had this deal, we had this group of the sharp ones. Anybody that's faltering, we'll pick up for him. You know, we'll scream fast, they'll get mixed up, and we'll answer the question. Well, one of us made a very big mistake. Shiva asked our Taisa, your mom's stuff, it's a nice Taisa. And this guy says, well, Rabbi Chanan says, and you saw that Rosh Yeshiva went like green. He looked at him like with his eyes, he stared at him, says, the mind is a closet. It has finite space. If you clutter it with other people's minds, you will never have your own. That guy never mentioned that word again. But he was teaching us that Limud HaTorah is an act of love. Can you imagine sending her love letters written by your friend or by some local rabbi? I mean, I've made cliff notes for love letters. Yeah. It ain't gonna happen. You're missing the whole concept of Limud HaTorah. It's an act of love. You're dating. You become quite obsessed, believe me. Actually, sometimes very. But that's what Torah is. So you ask me why I learned Gemara? Well, if you want to date and know him, there's no other way. It's yours.
What? You do your thing. I want you to practical. I want to hear this. I will do nothing. I'm not finished. Okay, if you want. But so stand up, take questions. Just give some practical things. Take questions.
And it's very important for you to know not how to listen to people's words, but how to listen to their lave. They know how to read people's hearts, as Reb Lachman said before. And Ritz Hashem will help you in dating. More importantly, it will help you in life, not just in dating. One of the great traps that you guys are all under in high school is that you're part of a culture that awards people for having more brain cells. And that's not really going to get you very far down the road in life. It's really about heart and about effort and about the ability to read other people's hearts. And that's called emotional intelligence. And you understand what people are feeling, not what they're saying. So you're a tremendous, tremendous presentation about Gemara and knowing the Kodesh Baruch Hu and thinking about the Rabbanu Shalom Yom HaValayel as Reb Lachman alluded to the Rambam. And you didn't just hear him say it, you felt an incredible amount of passion and commitment. That's what you have to learn to see. People like this are invaluable. We'll talk a little bit about what happens when you get back to Chutz Laaretz, but the most important thing you can do these years of your life, from 14 till 22, these years, find people who you can trust and have faith in them and accept their truths. Unfortunately, we're all part of a culture which breeds distrust, because everything around us is uncovered as fraud. Our sports heroes, oh, by the way, they're all on steroids. Our politicians, they're all adulterers. Our celebrities, they're all liars. And it trains you, well, I can't really accept anything because blind obedience will get me murdered. And then all of a sudden you have this revelation where you see someone without, that person is someone I can really trust. He really cares about Talmud Torah. He really cares about loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He just got back from his other, he doesn't have to be there. He said, because he really cares. I'm here because I really care. So those are the people, your madrichim, your rabbanim here during the summer, the rabbanim you'll see when you come back in Mirtz Hashem. But Rav Lachman mentioned before a story about sending people letters written by someone else. I'll tell you a funny story. Rav Soloveitchik, my Rebbe, Rav Lachman, the Bada L'chaim Tom Baruchim's Rebbe, the Rav, would give a big tshuva drasha every year around Yom Kippur time. And thousands of people would fly in from all over the world, let alone North America, to hear the Rav talk about tshuva. It was unparalleled. Like you were standing on Har Sinai during Kapara Sega. So someone told me, I'm not going to mention his name, not to embarrass him, that he remembers once going to the Rav's tshuva drasha a long, long time ago. And he got a ride with a rabbi from his community. He was also going. This person who told me the story didn't have a car, so he got a ride with the local rav. So they're driving. Those of you who lives in New York, right? So you guys know the FDR drive to get up to YU. They're driving on the FDR drive. Hopefully they're holding the wheel a little tighter than I'm driving on the FDR drive. And the rav turns to him and says, this rabbi said, do you know how important a person I am? This friend of mine is a little, he's now an old person, so he was a little bit taken aback. Wow, such gaiva, such naked arrogance. He says, no, I don't really know how important you are. He says, let me tell you how important I am. The Rav took time out this year to write me a Rosh Hashanah letter. He must really think that I'm important because he's so busy, the Rav, with preparing for his drashos and his davening and his tshuva and his... He's so busy and he took out the time to write me a letter for Rosh Hashanah. This rabbi says, I must be an important person. And he pulls the car over to the side of the road. The car swerves into the shoulder. He says, I want to read the letter to you. He takes out the letter and he says, this is what Rav Soloveitchik wrote me. Dear Rabbi so-and-so, it gives me great honor and great pleasure to wish you a shana, gmar chsima tova, tichaseim v'sechaseim. You're a gentleman and a scholar and a wonderful role model in Am Yisrael. Signed, Joseph Soloveitchik. So I must be an important person if the Rav is writing me such an important letter during the period of his life, he has no time. Okay, so this friend of mine was a little bit embarrassed to be in the car with such a balgaiva. But they come up to YU and they go sit down for the Rav's tshuva drasha. And they sat together because they arrived together, side by side, my friend and this elderly rabbi. What do you think the Rav talked about that year in his tshuva drasha? The danger and the poison of kavod, of arrogance. And the Rav is railing and saying, kavod seekers and arrogance, it's toxic, and it'll make your mind crazy, and motzi'in asadam min ha'olam. And my friend is trying to sink into the floor because he's sitting next to the biggest balgaiva in the room. And then the Rav says as follows. The Rav says, and let me tell you how dangerous gaiva and kavod is, the Rav says, of Soloveitchik. The Rav says as follows, I confirm this story. The Rav goes in front of thousands of people. Do you know that Erev Yom Kippur, I'm a very busy man? Do you know I have to prepare, the Rav says, my tfilos and my davening and my drushos? Do you think I have time to write these stupid letters to these stupid rabbis? But I do it anyway because I know they'll think that they're important. They're meaningless to me, but I do it just to make them think they're important. And then the Rav goes, I'll tell you what, let me read to you what I write to all the rabbis. And he and he takes out the letter of the Rebbe and he says, I write the same text to the same rabbis, they think it's for them. Dear Rabbi so-and-so, you are a gentleman and a fine role model in Am Yisrael. I think my friend probably wanted to be somewhere else, or at least shrink into a little amoeba at that point. So you got to make sure you write the right letters, and you also have to make sure you have anivus. We talked before about achdus. When you're standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you feel achdus, you don't feel like a small person. And when you see things large, you don't see small things, you see big things. Big things! So also when you're standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't think about yourself. You don't think about your own talent. You think about, you know what you are. Moshe Rabbeinu knew who he was. He wasn't like a malach, as I'll say. He wasn't an honor like a malach. He knew he was a baser v'dam with great accomplishments, but... So how do you do it when you get back? What is it? 2 weeks? 2.5 weeks till they get back? Now, Rav Blachman mentioned before that all the answers of life have to be found in Torah. There's no other address. Does anyone have a Chumash? Chumash Devarim. Rav Blachman mentioned Mishneh Torah is the explanation. Let me tell you, does anyone have a Devarim? The first time that the Yidden came back from the NCS Y-Kola, they'd seen incredible Nisim in the Midbar. They heard Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu. Kol HaSivragim. Adam Tamin Alar. Aspak Leimir. They saw Torah from Saul standing in front of Kutcher Brichu. Do you imagine that? The Vilna Gaon evidently on his deathbed was sittering, was shaking. Came in and said, why are you shaking, they asked him. He said, because I remember a couple years ago I was Mevatel 20 minutes or 20 seconds of Torah. You have to find Gedolim in your life, guys. To be a Gadol, you can learn Baba Kama, like Rav Blachman said, you can learn somehow, you can learn Tyrus. But to be a Gadol, it has to be endowed to you by someone. You know, there's no self-godness. Every once in a while, the Chazanish may be, but most people, you need to have these raw, incredible role models, and now Moshe's about to die. What does Moshe tell them? Everyone listen carefully. This isn't about how you learn when you get back from NCS Y-Kolel. It's first and foremost how you solve life's problems. Don't look elsewhere to solve your problems. Whatever resources you need for your problems to be solved are right under your 2 feet. You don't have to go looking elsewhere. Right? Karo v'lacha. Hashem never, ever gives a person a nisayon unless he also gives them the faculties to succeed. Because a nisayon doesn't come from the word challenge, it comes from the word flagpole. Because Hashem wants to raise you higher. Hashem doesn't play with you. The Rosh Hashanah doesn't trick you. Doesn't have special sadistic enjoyment watching people suffer. What's it gonna be bigger? It's gonna move to the next level. So you have it. Don't wait for people to clean your messes up. Don't wait for people to solve your problems. Don't think that when you reach these issues, you don't have the resources are there. So what are you gonna do when you get back from NCS Y-Kolo? And you no longer have Moshe Rabbeinu, you no longer have all the excitement you had here? Well, sit down and make a list. Not of what you don't have, but a list of what you do have. To really learn well, don't run off and make a special Seder Thursday night at 4 o'clock in the morning. Focus more on your classes. Show a little more cover to your Rabbanim in high school that it may have been hard in high school. Because it's easy in NCS Y-Kolel with sports and tournaments and everyone's enjoying it. Go back and be the best boy in the shiur. Be the best boy in your class. Join the extra track of learning. Shabbos. I know this is a toughie. I'm not going to ask you if you did this. But listen to the Rav's drasha. Actually listen to the drasha. He's teaching the Torah. There are shiurim in your communities on Shabbos. The best thing to do? There's going to be a curveball, guys. You know, you really make your Torah keva? You know, are you really make it part of your kishkis? go back and teach it to someone else. Men, the Chazal say, "Asay Torah Schakeva." How do you make your Torah Kevin Meshamitz of Mr. Nelson? Shilami Taraso. You had an incredible schus, guys. I didn't have it. I simmer blockman did. We didn't have it. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose you and selected you and put you into this generation, do you guys even know that there's more Torah being learned today? Today, what's today? August 3rd, 2011? More Torah has been studied today than at any point in Jewish history since the Churban Beis Hamikdash Rishon. I'm not talking about the quality. We had Gedolim, we don't always have the same Gedolim, but in terms of how many people are learning, it's not even close. So you're in that door. You're in that door. You were here in the summer. Well, there are no free lunches. Hashem gave you a gift. What are you going to do with that gift? There are 150 boys in this room. How many boys are there that didn't make it to Ansys Waikolo? Or didn't make it to TJJ? Or didn't even make it to Eretz Yisrael? Or didn't make it to a healthy summer experience? And you're going to walk into your high school class that first day. And if you're a snob, then every minute you learned this summer is washed down the drain. Because people are going to say, "Oh, look, he went to Lance's White Kollel. He's Bafadim Talmud Chacham. He's from. And he could care less about me. He looks down on me. He's making fun of me. He's hanging out only with Lance's. That's what Torah is about. I don't want to be. I don't want to become that person. I want to be a good person. I want to be an embracing person. I want to be a loving person." It's so important to be a loving person. Whenever college, whenever girls come over to me and ask me, this is a hint for you guys. Rabbi Bachman gave you, I'll give you another hint. And they come with their lists. They say, "Rabbi Tarrigan, here's my list. What should be number one? What should be number two for my chasam?" I take the list. And I rip it up. I say, "I'm not interested in your lists. Just promise me that whoever you're marrying is going to be a loving person. A good neshama. Everything else, take care of itself." As Blachman said before, it could be, he says he's in love with you, and because you're about to get, he could be a jerk, he could be selfish, he could be rude, he could be, he's a loving neshama. And you love someone, and you make concessions for that person. I got this people, love and shalom. It's all right, shalom is good also. He's sloughing Torah, like Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is sleeping and learning at the same time. If you walk back into your high school, and all of a sudden you're the best guy, you help people with their tests, you're friendly with everyone, you go over and you help people that aren't so successful. Rav Lachman mentioned before a story that he told about going to one of his rabbanim in Shivas Chevron. So, I just had a very difficult year. A person who changed my life, Rav Amital, Zichrono Livracha, was Nifter. A year ago. So when the first group of Bachrim came and asked him, "You want to start a yeshiva?" This was 1968. "What's going to make your yeshiva so special? You have so many yeshivas today. Why do you need another yeshiva?" So let me tell you the story that my Rebbe, Rav Amital, told boys who are now Zadis, because this is over 40 years ago. And that's how my yeshiva was built. There's a Hasidic Rebbe, and one of his Hasidim gets caught stealing. And they throw him into jail. And they call the Rebbe. "Rebbe, Rebbe, come to jail." And he comes to his Hasid, he says, "Don't worry, I know you have weakness, I know it's hard for you, come, I'll take you out of jail." And then a couple weeks later, the same chassid gets caught again and gets tossed into jail. They call the Rebbe. The Rebbe comes and says, "Don't worry, you're a kleptomaniac, you have addiction, I'll help you, come, come, I also have weaknesses." Then a few months later, the same chassid, a third strike, gets tossed in jail. They call the Rebbe. The Rebbe comes and says, "Okay, I know, life's dark. Life's gloomy. Life's complex. Come, We'll work through it together. We'll walk through this world together. And then the rabbi, the Hasidic Rebbe, dies. So what do they do when a Rebbe dies? They appoint the son as a successor. So the son takes over for his father. A couple of weeks after the Levaya, could you believe it? The same Chassid steals a fourth time and they throw him in jail. And they say, call for the Rebbe, call for the Rebbe. The Chassid's in jail. And what problem? The Rebbe's dead. What are we going to do? The Rebbe's dead. Call the son. So the son comes into the jail cell. You icebarf, you outcast, this is how you repay my father. He was so kind to you. You're a disgrace to his legacy. You're an embarrassment to my family. Rot in jail a few hours. And then maybe I'll bail you out. Maybe. So the poor chassid starts crying. He says, you don't understand, you don't understand. I'm not a tzaddik. I'm a Russia, I'm a Russia. I'm not a tzaddik, I'm a Russia. You, he says to this young Rebbe, you're a Rebbe for tzaddikim. It's easy to be a Rebbe for tzaddikim. Your father? He was a Rebbe for Rishayim. I need your father, I need your father, I don't need you. It's easy to be a Rebbe for tzaddikim. I'm a Russia, I need a Rebbe for Rishayim. So Rav Amital told those Talmidim, there are plenty of yeshiva for tzaddikim. I'm going to open a yeshiva for Rishayim. That's what he told. It needs to be a yeshiva for a shayim. Then we'd all start laughing when he told us his story. And then he would tell us in a Kaddish, Baruch Hu had Nekamom, he gave me tzaddikim. Rav Amital told me when I first started teaching, he said, whatever you do, don't let the tzaddikim ruin the yeshiva. Because the tzaddikim always know better than the rabbanim. Don't let the tzaddikim ruin the yeshiva. So it's easy to be, that's just my calling on tzaddikim. Tell Father Nadi, you're listening to me. You have a lot better things to do. Tzaddikim. But there are also people who want to be tzaddikim and can be tzaddikim. Because I'll say that Aaron HaKohen was Oev HaSabrios and Mekarvan Latara. Does anyone know how Aaron was Mekarvan HaSabrios? What? Excellent. Very good. Beautiful. Everyone here? Pfeiffer said? Aaron would pass a Rasha. They won't give him a Musar Shmos. He won't pour out his wrath. He'd pass a Rasha and he'd say, how are you? How's your life going? What's up? How are you feeling? He opened his heart. The next day that Rasha was about to commit a chet. And he said, how can I commit a chet? Aaron HaKohen is my friend. He expects more of me. He likes me. He holds me in high regard. He thinks highly of me. I got to live up to his expectations. So when you start September 1st or September 3rd, remember, you can be like Aaron HaKohen. You can walk into the school and let everyone know you're an NTSY Kollel and you learn 10 hours a day and therefore you're better. And you should know that because it's really an incredible Kiddush Hashem that you did it. But now's the next stage. Remember I told you about an hour ago, if you really love Hashem, you love people who love Hashem, Chaver ani l'chol asher yareucha. Well, there's another Gemara in Yoma. If you love Hashem, then you want others to love Him. Rav Blachman quoted the Pasuk so many times, V'yahavta Hashem b'lokecha, v'chol avavcha v'chol mashcha, so he quoted the Sifri. How do you love Hashem by learning Torah? The Gemara in Yoma says something else. How do you love Hashem? Sheishem Shemayim Messiah Bo Yotcha. Do you really love Hashem? You want other people to love Him. What happens when you see a good game, a good dunk? Call your friend up. You text him. You see that dunk? You eat a good restaurant. You want people to share. You see a good movie. You got to share it. Because when you love something so deeply, your heart can't control it. Your heart's too small. You need to share it with other people. You need to give it to them. So do you love Hashem? Give it. Give it. Share it. Excite other people. Be a walking source of inspiration. Walk back into that high school so proud of what you accomplished. But now I have a responsibility. Now I got to make sure that every day I say something nice to someone. I won't naturally say something nice to. It's a good way to test yourself. When you put your head to bed at night, say, did I say something nice to someone today? that I wouldn't naturally have done, be nice to my friends. Oh, no, that's easy. Someone different from me. Someone in the lower class. Someone who doesn't come to Minyan. Someone who doesn't daven the right way. Someone who isn't shomer gear like he should. Someone who's not doing the right thing. But I made him feel good about himself, and now he feels better. Those are some tips. First of all, don't think you have to recreate Entis Lykol. We have Rabbanim. We have rabbis. Sunday. Spend 20 minutes Sunday morning after davening. 30 minutes learning. That's all. And already, an entire day. I remember I told you about in my spoke before, Yom Yedroshim, even if you learn one day a week, one day a year, Kiddush Baruch Hu is mechashev that. Take Sunday and learn for 30 minutes. Most of you come from communities, I'm sure, if you went over to the Rav or to someone older in the community and asked them, can you find someone to learn with me 30 minutes from 8:30 to 9 o'clock? You don't have school on Sunday. Shabbos. Teach. Go over to a boy younger than you. Your brother. Teach him. Share. And finally, guys, everyone to listen. Dream to be something in Torah. Don't just accept your world. You can all be difference makers. None of us here, not me, not Rick Blachman, not Europe, but none of us are here without dreams. Because when we were your age, we saw a world that could be better. And we dare to believe that little old me can make it better. Every one of you here can make a difference. Whether you're a Rebbe, whether you're a rabbi, whether you're a balabas that davens properly, or learns Keseda, Kviasita Matara, or something very simple. Could you imagine a world in which your son, at your age, is 75% finished with the Shas that Reb Blachman mentioned? Because there's no reason that every boy in high school shouldn't finish Shas. And it just takes a father, not a Rebbe, it takes a father to put him on track. So in 20 years, in 30 years, if you dream, your son will finish high school exactly as Reb Blachman described it. He'll know, not perfect, he'll still have to work hard and understand the details and the logic and the analysis. There's no reason that every high school kid shouldn't be finished with Shas and then start yeshiva, start in the pursuit that Reb Blachman mentioned before. The best way you can ensure that you learn is if you know that it means something for you in the future. You're not just one and done. You're not just moving through. If you want your Torah to be keva, you have to see it as keva. You have to see it as something that you're going to make a difference. So the best part of tefillah, and please try to remember this, and Rav Bachman mentioned it before, guys, the first Shabbos you're home, maybe